It's such an honor to know you, and not only that, to be privileged to be free to assemble, to speak and hear your word, also to be able to understand it. We thank you. As we enter your word this morning, we enter in with great reverence and awe, for we recognize the limitations of the natural human mind to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into the written word. Consequently, we recognize our need for help, assistance, supernatural help in the form of fresh unction and anointing, firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present and those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, so that internal and eternal work will be done in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, I will cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened, and by revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further pray as we speak that the power of the Spirit of God be released from your presence in great measure to follow and back these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that indeed I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out a treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer, in their own individual life, agreed with me and said, Amen. We continue our study this morning in 1 John. In our last lesson, we started in chapter 5, and we looked, I believe, at the first 6 verses. 1 John chapter 5 and the first 6 verses. And what the Holy Spirit was telling us here through John the Apostle was the fact that we should keep God's commandments by grace and mercy through faith. When we do it that way, we will find that the commandments are not grievous, and the grace and the mercy of God that we receive by keeping those commandments, which commandments basically are the commandment to receive eternal life, to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to use that eternal life, the wisdom therein, the compassion therein, and the power that we can extract, get from that eternal life, we're now to use it to love men the way God loves them. Basically, that's the commandment. And when we do that, we will overcome the world. We will overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Anytime you see the world always interpret it like that, you'll get a clearer understanding of what God is saying. So we're talking about the age, you know, this life, this time, but also, you know, the lusts. A lust is just desires inconsistent with the will of God that is operating through the minds of men, making them ungodly, making them behave in ways that are contrary to the will of God. And this is a universal phenomena. It's all over the place. You know, the world. So when we say somebody's worldly, you talk about worldly Christians, or you talk about carnal Christians. You're talking about Christians in whom the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life have dominance. It doesn't mean they're not Christians. It doesn't mean they're not children of God. It just means that they have not learned this truth that John is sharing with us, how to keep the commandments by faith, and therefore find the commandments not grievous, and then the power that is released from those commandments to overcome these lusts of the flesh, lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is regrettable and very sad that a great significant number of the church falls into this category. The Apostle Paul, writing about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, he was writing to born again. You know, many times people, you know, when they read those things, they read it with a mind that is not properly disciplined and renewed. We read certain things and we think he's talking to unbelievers. He's not talking to unbelievers, he's talking to Christians. He says, I could not write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even babies in Christ, they're in Christ. He said, you know, if you behave, just to summarize, just you behave like ordinary men. He said, you walk like mere men, but you're just behaving like the ordinary man who is dominated by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, by the power of Satan through the air, operating through his mind and his, you know, Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, obeying the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It's a universal thing. And so it's something we are, that is the hallmark of the overcoming Christian. It says, this is he that believeth, that overcometh the world. In other words, let's say it this way. The born-again Christian who believes Jesus Christ is the Son of God has the potential of overcoming the world. Now, whether he does or not is a completely different matter, which is what happens to so many people. The potential is there. That's why I say, he that is born of God overcometh the world. It's a fact. He overcomes. He already has all he needs inside him because of that new birth, because of that relationship, because he has now become a branch of the vine. He now has access to the blood of Jesus. He has access to the life of God. He has access to the power of the Holy Spirit. Consequently, he is a world overcomer. But he may not be overcoming the world because he's not putting those things to use. But it doesn't change the fact that that's what he is. His identity, you know, who he is may be very different from what he does. But that's who he is. He is, turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking at a world overcomer. I'll say it with confidence, folks. Hallelujah. And then tell them you're going to also see it. You see, you are a world overcomer, but you should now act like it. You should now make it real. You know, and this is not only true of overcome the world, it's true of all the other things we have in Christ. Do you know you're healed? You're not the sick trying to get healed, you are the healed Satan is trying to make sick. I'll say it again. That, you know, there's so many things in our paradigm, in our thinking, that has to change. You know, because we've come from a background of defeat, 2,000 years of Christian history, in which majority of it has been lived in defeat. You know, in the history of the church, you know, Christians die like everybody else. Christians are sick like everybody else. Christians are broke like everybody else. You know, and so we have that. You're not the sick trying to get healed. You're the healed that Satan is trying to make sick, because your identity is health. By his stripes, you were healed. So you are healed. However, even though you are healed, you can become sick if you do not enforce the healing. The same thing is true of poverty. Jesus became poor that we might be rich. So you are the rich. But if you don't know what to do, you won't experience it. Even though that is your identity. That's who you are. It's very important we know who we are. You know who you are? A child of God. Should I even step that off? A son of God. That's who you are. And being of God, the things of God are yours. Health is yours because God. Have you ever heard of God sick? Have you ever heard of God lacking? No. Have you ever heard of God, you know, falling for the loss of the flesh? Have you ever heard of God sinning? Do you understand? So that's who you are. Because you are of God. That's the truth, you know, that John encapsulates in these scriptures. You are of God. And because you are of God, you have overcome the world. But you have to, it's not automatic. The enforcement and the experience and the practice is not automatic. It is something you have to do by walking with God. That's why he says you have to keep the commandments. And he says it's not difficult to keep the commandments because you can do it by faith. Well, correction, you should do it by faith. Amen? Yes, the just shall live by faith. And then he says, it's by God deliberately made it by faith, so it will be by grace, so it will be sure to all the seed. In other words, any Christian can do it, because none of us is doing it by our own power. All of us are doing it by mercy and grace through faith. Amen. Oh, it makes life very simple. Hallelujah. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that includes biology. I don't know where I got that from. And chemistry and politics and, you know, tailoring and cooking and whatever else. You know, Christianity equips us to be victorious in every area and sphere of human endeavor. I'm going to talk about that later on today. You know, and that's the reason, you know, is because people don't understand that you find them struggling because they've never been taught that their Christianity, when I become a Christian, I become a partaker of the divine nature. The divine nature, because it is divine, automatically means that it is victorious. Is there anything God can do? You know, God himself asked that question. It was a rhetorical question. It was to Sarah when she was doubting. He said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, you can extend that. Is there anything too hard for Prof? Prof received it immediately. He said, yes, sir. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. Is there anything too hard? It's not too hard for any of us. There's nothing you can't do. What you have to allow now is to allow the divine to cover the human. To empower the human. Jesus is the Son of God. And when he was here, he didn't operate as God. He did not operate as omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, which is what God is. He was limited as a man. And so he was able to do all of those things. So everything Jesus did, you can do. That's what you have to understand about your Christianity and make the focus of your Christianity. See, we see Christianity many times as just a means to a better human end. And that's not what it is at all. So I want to use my Christianity so that I can get what the unbeliever gets. If I'm a good Christian, then I will succeed and I will prosper. I'll be a good lawyer. I'll be a good doctor. I'll buy a house. I'll have a car. You know, that's all we use our Christianity for. And it's such a slow level of understanding. Hallelujah. That's not the purpose of your Christianity. Your Christianity is to make you like God. And if you become like God, cars won't be a problem. Houses won't be a problem. Being a lawyer won't be a problem. Being a doctor won't be a problem. Or any other thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May God help us get it. May it go beyond the amen to the practice. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on this morning. Verse 5, it says, who is he? I didn't hear you. That overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That encapsulates everything I've just been saying. If you're born of God, give me a wave offering. Hallelujah. Keep the hand up. Keep it waving. Then anybody who is waving that is sitting next to you, tell them you're looking at a world overcomer. Then give yourselves a clap offering. Hallelujah. That's really who you are. You know, Kenneth Hagin wrote a book many years ago. The book is still in print. It's called In Him. And he got it also from E.W. Kenyon. If you, those are two guys, you know, you go, their books are available on the internet. You know, try and get them. If you haven't read them, if you come to this church, you should have read them. You know, and, you know, there's one of E.W. Kenyon's books called Identification. One of the biggest problems we have today is people, you know, have a problem with identification. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And you have to know who you are in Christ. Your true identity is in Christ. Your true identity is not human. I'm not just Olubi Johnson. I am Olubi Johnson, but that's not really who I am. Olubi Johnson is the tag that I have to identify who I am in this world. But really who I am is I'm a son of God. So are you. And so when people are talking and things are happening, you know, I'm not just a Yoruba, I'm not just a Nigerian, I'm not just a black man, you know, all these things are. That's why we have an identity crisis. So people are, you know, oh, I'm black, therefore I feel inferior to the white man, or I feel inferior to the Chinese, or I feel inferior to the Japanese, or I feel inferior to the American, or to the, you know, who you are is not defined by where you were born. Who you are is not defined by the color of your skin. Who you are is not defined by your family lineage. Who you are is defined by your new birth. And when you have that, every other thing that is in who you, where you were born, your family lineage, all of that, you will use who you are to enhance all of them. Hallelujah. None of them are supposed to bring you down. Amen. Who is he? It's identification. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. May God help us. May we get to know who we are. Then when you walk with a spring in your step. Hallelujah. When with your head raised up. Not with pride and arrogance, you know, because God's nature is humble, but with boldness. Jesus knew who he was. So when Pilate said, "Don't you know I have power to crucify you? And I have power," he said, "You got it wrong, boy. I'm only here because God allowed it. And there's a purpose," I'm paraphrasing, "there's a purpose for God in me being here. Because you have, in the natural, you have no power over me." But not only just can say that, you can say that. I can say that. Amen. The guys in this world have no power over us. The only power they have is the one we allow them to have. Completely new paradigm. The word paradigm is, you know, thinking, you know, mindset. New mindset. May God help us. We need a big amen for that. May God help us. Because we've lived so far beneath our privileges for so long. We have this slave mentality. We have this defeatist mentality. We have this inferior mentality because we don't know who we are. So John tells us, who is he? That's who you are. Now, he now wants to tell us a little bit more about who we are. Verse 6, this is he. He's still talking about the same person. You know, Christians can be very funny sometimes. Hey, I didn't hear you, folks. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you and me. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. You see, people will take this scripture and say he's talking about Jesus. He's not talking about Jesus, he's talking about you. Do you know your name is Jesus Christ? That's going to make, you know, completely blow the religious mind out of the water. Amen. It's there. It's there. It's not just here. You know, the scripture says, "Know ye not that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you, except you be reprobates?" It's not about you. God identifies you and Jesus as one. This is he Who is he? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking at him or her. In Christ, you know, all this gender problem, when you come to Jesus, it gets solved immediately. Amen. Because if the woman can become like Jesus, just like the man can become like Jesus, then there is no way the man can be superior to the woman or the woman superior to the man. That is why in Christ, there is no male or female. Any woman can become as strong spiritually as any man. Has nothing to do with gender. Your identity is not woman. And your identity is not man. Your identity is Jesus. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's why any woman can be anything. A woman can become a president. A woman can become, you know, she can become a professor. She can, you know, it's very wrong to say, oh, women, you know, it's the devil who's done that down through the years. Women, I mean, it's even been proven by, you know, in recent history, you know, there's nothing a man can do, a woman can do. Now, they always add better, but that's an addition the Bible didn't put. Correct thing is, anything a man can do, a woman can do. And anything a woman can do, a man can do. Except having babies, of course. That's just the different biological anatomy that God has put there. The difference between a man and a woman is very, very simple. It's exactly the same thing. The woman just has the man with the womb. That's why it's woman. The man with the womb. So that's why she's woman. The man. She's a man. But then she has a womb so that she can give birth to other men. That's different between the man and the woman. Finish. Every other thing is the same. The brain is the same. The emotions are the same. Hello? Nothing. There's no difference. That's why there's nothing a man can do, a woman can't do. There's nothing a woman can do, a man can't do. I've seen men who are great mothers. They're not mothers in terms of giving birth, you know, or feeding the baby, but they can look after children. I remember when Itunu was born, you know, this was many years ago, you know, and, you know, we were living in UI at that time in the Sultan Bello Hall flats. You know, my wife was, you know, she was lecturing. I was lecturing. I was in physics. She was in English. You know, we were busy people. And there are times when my wife would, you know, have a lot of things on her hands. I put the baby on my back. I put the baby on my back and I tied something, you know, and put the baby on my back and I was helping in the house. So some brethren from church came and said, ah, Pastor Onkpomo. I said, you don't understand. It has nothing to do with that. It's a teamwork. I can look after the baby just like my wife can. Feed the baby. You know, I used to change the pampers, you know, feed the baby, everything. Because you got to work together. African man. I have amen, yo. That amen did not come from many people. To Ibone Papastos, man. Emike. Maybe that's why you're having problems in your marriage. Because you misunderstand the identity issue. You are one in Christ. Yeah, help my wife. Sweep the floor. Everything. There's nothing, you know, in those early days, now we have people we can hire to and help us do all that. But in those early days, I did everything. There was nothing that we had to do that we didn't, you know, that I would help. I wasn't as good at it as she was. She was better at it than me because, you know, she's practiced it more. But, you know, I was able to help. I could clean the baby. I could feed the baby. I could, you know, carry the baby. I could sweep the house, you know. I could help in every area. And because there's nothing a woman can do, a man can do. And there's nothing a man can do, a woman can do. So you must see yourself as partners, co-equal, under God. Joint heirs of the grace of life. Thank you, Pastor Abraham. That's what the Bible says, not what your culture says. That's one of your biggest problems, your culture. And the Bible says you should do away with the tradition of your fathers. Don't let me walk all over them. Let me just leave it. I think, you know, enough said. Amen. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. He calls you and I Jesus Christ. Anybody who is born of God is also called Jesus Christ. The born again human spirit is exactly like Jesus. Not by water only, I didn't hear you, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. What's John telling us here? When you get born again, three agents are responsible for that experience. The blood of Jesus that cleanses you from sin, and water there is a type of the life of God. John chapter 4, verse 14, talking to the woman at the Samaritan lady. You know, Jesus said, the water, if you drink this water, you get thirsty again. But the water I'm going to give you will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So water here is used as a type of the life of God. So when you get born again, you get born again by those two things. The blood of Jesus that removes the sin nature, and the life of God that is injected into your spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, this is what gets you. Now, when this event, and it is an event, when this event takes place, the Spirit of God, the person that is the Holy Spirit that actually does it, he now bears witness with your spirit that you have had that experience. That's why it's called, you know, it says, and the Spirit is truth. The word truth there, if you look in the original Greek, is the word reality. He's telling you, this reality has taken place inside you. The Holy Spirit himself. That's why the Bible says that in Romans chapter 8, it says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we're children of God. And it's a powerful thing, because I can only speak from my own experience, but I'm sure there are millions of Christians all over the world who've had experience. When I got born again, I didn't need the affirmation of any man. I knew I was born again. I you've heard my testimony. I don't want to go into a long story, but you know, I got born again in my youth call towards the tail end of it. I didn't even have a Bible. It was one of the youth coppers. She was a lady, you know, and she had a Bible, and I borrowed her Bible. I got born again on a borrowed Bible, praise the Lord. There's nothing God can do. And, you know, they didn't believe I was born again. But I didn't care. What they believed did not change the reality I had. I had the witness of the Spirit that I was born again, even though the Christian said I was not born again because I did not fit into their religious paradigm. But I knew, and there was nothing they said. They didn't say it in a bad way. They were just laughing. You care, born again, you know. And I said, no, I am. And they didn't take me seriously at first. Of course, later on, they saw that it was true, you know. But their testimony or their affirmation did not do away with my reality. And that's what the apostle is telling us here. Next verse, verse 7. For there are three. These are three persons of the Godhead. This is another scripture that tells us that there are three persons of the Godhead. There are many, but this is one very solid one. It says, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. The Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So when we say the Word, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And the Holy Ghost. That's the third person of the Godhead. It says, and these three are one. This is how God is. Get away from your religion. Are there three gods? No. There are three persons in the Godhead. They are one, they are not the same person. That's why Jesus said that they may be one even as we are one. Praying in John 17. How are my wife and I one? We're not the same person, but we are one in having the same nature, the same character, the same opinion. I'm one with Pastor Greg. I'm one with my pastors. When we are one, you say we have the same mind. You know, we have the same judgment. That's what he means. He's not talking about being one, the same person. And he said so. He said that they may be one even as we. So he was telling us how to understand how the Godhead is one. So that's why I said that they may be one even as we are one. And then I shared this with us last Sunday, I believe it was. You know, where he says that, if you know, talking about the commandment, he says, if any man keeps his commandment, say, we will come and make our abode with him. Who is we? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We. So God is three persons, you know, and the three of them are one, not the same person, but the same nature, the same character, the same mind, the same judgment. Hallelujah. Now, he says, those three people, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, record the event when it happens on the earth. So when a human being is born by the blood and the Spirit will bear witness to you on the earth, and the three persons of the Godhead will record it in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Where in heaven? Now, I want to blow your religion a little bit. You know, if you can receive, receive it. If you can't receive it, chew on it. Go back into the Word of God and check me out. The Bible says the Berean Christians were more honorable because they said the Word of God. There are two books of life. There is the book of life, and then there is the Lamb's book of life. Exodus chapter, I think it's 16. This is in the Old Testament. There was no lamb then. He hadn't died. Moses, God was angry. He wanted to destroy the Israelites. Moses said, don't do that. He says, if you do, the blot me out of your book. So there was already a book. Hello? Back in the Old Testament. There was already a book. Now, this blow your religion and blow your mind. When you are born of your mother, your name automatically goes into the book of life. Everybody's name is in the book of life. This, everybody's name is there. I can give many scriptures. It was Revelation chapter 22. It says, you know, he will remove his parts out of the book. So everybody's name is there. There is no human being whose name was not in the book of life. Now, if you die and you don't accept Christ and you go to hell, it's blotted out. But the record is there. Now, when you now get born again, look at Revelation. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. Glory be to God. See, everybody has a part in the book of life. You know, religion has, you know, come and get born again. So go and get born again so your name will be written in the book of life. It's a half-truth. It's true, but it's not, you know, because your name is already in the book of life. But when you get born again, your name is now in the Lamb's book of life. So we have two registers. If you get born again, then when they check, your name will be on both lists. If you don't get born again, that one is not inside the book of life. And then the one that's inside the book of life is blotted out. But we can always see the gap. Because you have a serial number. Oh, yes. That is why on Judgment Day, the books are opened. Not book, books. Plural. Are you aware? And then there's the Bible. There's the book of life. There's the Lamb's book of life. And there's the book of your deeds. And other books that I may not even know of. Everything is, you know, God's a great lawyer. So everything is brought out. Then he says, and they were judged out of the things that were written in the book. Watch this. And everyone whose name was not, watch this word, found. It means there's a search. Laolu knows because it's a database. It's a computer. You see, God made computers long before man ever thought about them. It's a database. So a search is actually made. This is where it should have been. It's been blotted out. It says, and everybody whose name was not found in the book of life was put in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Now, before you start getting scared, that's not the will of God. I mean, if I scared the hell out of you, I did my job. Praise the Lord. Because God doesn't want you to go to hell. But this is reality. This is not religion. This is reality. It will be checked. And if it's there, fine. If it's not there, you don't go to heaven. It's the, if your name is not found, I'm getting ahead of myself. See, for whosoever was not found, written in the book of life. But it was there originally. Look at Revelation chapter 13. That's why you need to read your Bible. How many people read the book of Revelation? If you do your Bible reading, you should. You bring your Revelation at least once a week. Because the way I designed that Bible reading thing, you know, I designed it in such a way you read the Apostles, Paul, you know, and, you know, the book of Revelation is there. You can't go a month without reading the book of Revelation if you're following our Bible reading guide. And you should. The Bible says, blessed are they that read the words of this book. I know why some Christians are so scared of the book of Revelation. You'd be scared of the book of Revelation. The Bible says you're blessed if you read it. Hello, somebody. All right. Okay. Now, I got it all here. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter, where in the world is this? Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Yes. Revelation chapter 13, okay, and verse 8. Thank you. Now, watch this. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. I'm talking about the Antichrist. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Slain from the foundation of the world. Now, the Lamb being slain from the foundation of the world was in God's plan that Jesus was going to die. But there is a book of life of the Lamb. Now, watch this. This one, their names are not written. It did not say their names were blotted out. That's why you have two. You have two registers. You get born again. No wonder why the Lord said this. He had all this at the back of his mind because he knew everything. You know, he knew all of these things. That's why I said, except you be born again. So the two births are recorded. The natural birth is recorded and put in the book of life. Then the new birth is recorded and put in the Lamb's book of life. Two is God's number for witness. So when they check the record, when they scan it and they do the search, once your name is in the book of the Lamb's book of life, automatically it will be in the book of life. But if your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, the one that was inside the book of life is blotted out. If you can receive it, receive it. These people, their names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. But their names obviously must have been written in the book of life. But they would now get blotted out. These are people who worship the Antichrist and take the mark of the beast, which you don't want to do. Hello, somebody. Just incidentally, this is free of charge. I just added into what I'm preaching because it's come up about the Antichrist and this Revelation chapter 13. You know, there's a lot going on now in the earth. Particularly those of us who are into computers and all of that. Computer knowledge now is becoming ubiquitous. And as everybody needs to have some knowledge of computer, you can't really do anything again without computers. How many people know that? You can't get a visa without a computer. You have to fill your something on. Everybody must have some smattering understanding of computer literacy. It's become like that now. You can't buy anything. You know, your phone.
you know, you even your POS, now you have to, you know, buy things on your phone and everything. There's some places they just tell you, sorry, you know, you have to go and do it online. And it's going to become more and more like that. So those of you who don't know computers, you have to get computer literate to some degree. I mean, you don't have to become a programmer or an expert, but you must be able to understand, you know, some basic operation. Anyway, having said that, you know, there are all kinds of schemes now that are being touted. In fact, they're already in operation, but they're not become universal yet. And governments haven't yet passed decrees. Those things are going to come in the days ahead. Now, as a Christian, I'm warning you. If it's an eye scan, it's okay. If they say you should put something in your body, don't do it. There are chips now. It was done during Obama's time. It's one of the things why they called Obama the Antichrist. Don't mind them. Obama is not the Antichrist. You know, they were just innocent. They're just doing experimenting. They're doing things because of statistics, because of planning, and to security to make things easier. But they don't understand that some of those things are going to be used by the devil later on, the Antichrist later on. So in order to make things easier, so you don't lose your wallet, or you don't lose your card, or you don't lose, you know, your bank card or whatever it is that you're going to, you know, or your passport. Why don't we just put all the information on one chip and put it inside your body, your hand? So when I get to the airport, instead of bringing out my passport and looking for 3 papers, 4 papers, just put your hand under the scan. You know, the laser, it just scans it. Everything about you. Your bank, your BVN, whether you got the visa, how many times you were refused, which embassies you went to, the last country you traveled to. The guy who is, he just looks at it. He can see everything. Now, it makes sense, and it makes life easy. Instead of having 55 documents, and you have a file, and you're bringing it, and say, oh, let me see this, let's see that. You get, you know, and it doesn't hurt you. Just put it there, you know, slight surgery, nothing much, you know, just, it's very convenient. Don't do it. Born again Christian. Say, use my iris. Do same thing. I was just watching on CNN yesterday. One of the airports in America now has gone totally digital. I think it's Miami. We were watching it together, Larry and I, you know, last night. You know, it's number one, they're doing a test run. You know, it's going to be like that. All you don't need to bring out your passport. You don't need to bring anything. You just stand in front of the thing. It scans your iris. Because your iris is unique, just like your fingerprint. You know, once it scans your iris, it goes to a database and collects all the information. This is not, I saw it last night. You know, everything, you know, your passport number, the visa number, you know, how many times you've been to the United States, you know, this is America now, you know, whether you've ever been refused a visa, whether you've ever been involved in terrorism, whether you've ever, the whole database. Whether you applied for a visa in the UK and were refused, or you applied to Germany and you were refused, the whole thing is all there. So once they scan all the information, and, you know, it's called face recognition software. It can even recognize your eyes and your face and everything, your nose, everything. Somebody can't pretend they're you. And then when if they're happy, it goes through an analysis. It says passed, cleared. Then so you can go. If there's anything that is not right, maybe you told a lie, and you went to Germany, you came back, they refused you visa, then you now got the U.S. one, then you now say, I want to enter the U.S. so that you can, so that you just say, can you step aside, please, sir? And you know, the white man, very, very polite. This way, sir. you know, no fight at first. And they deal with you later. You know, and they take you to some room behind and they start grilling you. And you tell a lie, they know. Then they will ask you a leading question because they already have the data to see if you will lie or whether you will tell the truth. That exists as I speak today. That's why all the embassies now, British Embassy, the United Embassy, German Embassy, if you want Schengen, everything is computer. And they're sharing their databases. The reason is because they're trying to fight terrorism. So, you know, because people will go here and then go here, like in the past, where there was no connection. So you could be refused a visa in the Italian embassy, then you quickly go to the US and you get one. That day is gone. The only reason is that they must know the reason why the Italian embassy refused you. And if it's a legitimate reason, they will overlook it. But if it's a reason that has to do with something wrong, it will be flagged all over. Where did I get off on that? Don't take the mark of the beast. Because you do not take a chip in your body for anything. Tell them, use my iris. It's not in my body. Once you take that, the Bible, go and check it. You know, it can either be in your forehead or in your hand. It's what the Antichrist is going to use. And we're not talking about things that are going to be 50 years time. We're looking at 15, 20 years. Once the man-child company is raptured, the Antichrist steps in. It went very quiet. Thank you, Prof. Touch your neighbors. I thought you were an overcomer. Why are you so quiet? Give a lot of shout, somebody. you're going to heaven, so why are you worried? You're going to watch. I'm sure you're watching and praying always. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm sure you're watching and praying. That's a trick question. You have nothing to worry about. But those things are coming. You know, but there's an efficient, more efficient. They can use the iris. The iris is very, very efficient. You use iris, they can use fingerprint scan, you know. Recently, you know, last year or something, my wife and I went to America, you know, and that's what we used. You know, we didn't go through a human, went through a human, but it was later on. We used the computer, you know, and we just put your hand on it like this, and it gets everything. Then it says cleared. So you now go to the man, the human being, and he sees that you've been cleared by the computer and just says you can go. So, okay. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. The spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three, what? Agree in one. The three, you see, there are three people in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then there are three agents or substances in the earth. That is the, no, next verse. In the earth, the water, the blood, And these three agree in one. What do they agree? The Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is in heaven and is also here on earth. So, and your human spirit. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with your human spirit. You've been born again. The life of God bears witness. You've been born again. The blood of Jesus bears witness. You've been born again. All the three of them agree on the experience that you have had. Next verse. I got to close. Now, this is the warning. I have to stop in verse 12. Here's the warning. I'm going to read it from verses 9 through 12 and then summarize and close. It says, if we witness, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? Greater. That's what I was telling you about my experience. Men say, oh, you're not born again. You know, because, you know, I wasn't religious like them. You know, I don't go to church and all of that. But I've been born again. So, but what they said did not disturb me at all because I had the witness. It is not men who will come and tell you are born again. It is you who will know you are born again. If we receive the witness of men, there's nothing wrong with that. But the witness of God is what? greater. In other words, the witness of men should only corroborate the witness of God, but it cannot contradict the witness of God. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. Amen. He that believeth not God, for this is the witness, verse 9, the second part of verse 9, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the what? Witness where? He that believeth not God hath made him a what? Liar, because he believeth not the record God gave of his Son. In other words, you can have the witness of God and reject it because you want to continue your sin. Oh, yeah. You know. Others may not know, but you know. But you don't want to backslide. You want to continue your sin. They say, no, I'm not. But you know you are. So you've made God a liar. Of course, God is not a liar. It's yourself you are deceiving. Hello? Because you do not believe the record that God gave of his Son. What was the record that God gave of his Son? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. You know, and yet you reject that record. You can, because you still have a free will. Verse 11. This is the record. I like John. Very specific. That God had given unto us what? Eternal life. This Zoe. This divine nature. And this life is where? In his Son. Let me, without getting into religion and theology and everything, let me just settle this once and for all. Eternal life is only available in Jesus Christ. It's not available in any other religion. This life is in his Son. You cannot get eternal life any other way except by believing in the sacrifice, the death, the suffering, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and alive. No one comes to the Father except by me. If they go to any other thing, it's not the Father. It's the devil. They just don't know. They just don't know. There are no multiple ways to God. There's only one. His name is Jesus. The world is going to come to accept what I'm saying. I know there's a lot of debate now about different religions and all of that, but by the time the glory of God appears, and we take this gospel of the kingdom and deliver the creation from the bondage of corruption, and take this gospel of the kingdom to all the nations, you know, they may not all accept it all and receive it into their heart, but they will know. Like Pharaoh knew. His magicians, Janus and Jambres, bad boys. You know, the guys who are converting rods to snakes. You know, and they duplicated every miracle that Moses did up to the eighth one, I think the one of lice. You know, I can't remember the exact number. I think it was eighth, you know, because of new beginnings. You know, if I remember rightly, I stand to be corrected. But, you know, they declare, but when it came, they could not do it. You know what the Bible says? He said, they came to say, this is the finger of God. But whether they accepted that God or not is a different matter. That's where the world is going to come to. They're going to come and say, this is the finger of God. I like Nebuchadnezzar. No other God can deliver after this sort. The world is going to come to that point. They're not there yet, because the church has, you know, been playing church and we've not demonstrated the glory of God the way. But we are going to. And as we do it, they will come to that same conclusion. This is the finger of God. Now, whether they accept it or not, it depends on each individual. Hallelujah. But they will know. Unto me every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It's not only in Philippians, it's in Isaiah. Paul was quoting from Isaiah. The hour and the day is come and now is when everybody will say, this is God. This is God. This is our God. We're waiting for him. Oh God, we got to close. Last verse. God help me. He that hath the Son, I like this, hath life. He that hath not the Son, hath not life. Point. End of story, folks. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have access to eternal life. You don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have eternal life. Simple. There's no point, no religion, no theology, no argument. That's just the way it is. I don't believe in all of that. Oh, you're so rigid. Hello? You're not flexible. You don't accept other viewpoints, you know. No, I don't. You're right. I accept only one viewpoint. God's viewpoint. Amen. Why should I accept your viewpoint? You're not the creator last time I checked. Hello, somebody. Why would I accept your viewpoint when I have the viewpoint of the person who made everything? Don't make any sense. You're not on the same level. Shall the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? Or is it the clay who is going to tell to the potter, what makest thou? Oh, come on, folks. Let's get our heads screwed on right. Amen. Amen. This is what the Creator says. I'm going to close. I say this. I've said it recently, but I want to repeat it, particularly for our TV audience and for all of us, really. Whenever you start to think about God and existence and, you know, why are we here? You know, is there God and all of that? You know, it's a very simple, very, very simple way, what I'm about to tell you, to settle the thing in your mind. And it's based on pure honesty of heart. You don't need to know, you get to know more things later on. But just initially, you know, always ask yourself some fundamental questions. You know, this happened to me, you know, as a young boy, and then I got born again later on. Where did everything come from? I talk about evolution, you know, and it's false science. These are professors of medicine, they will tell you. It's false science. And we know it's false because we know from probability that you cannot have, you know, organic inorganic substances like iron and all, then they now form in one complex combination to form these complex biological molecules like DNA and all of that. It's not possible. It's a mathematical fact. So we now come back to this fundamental question: where did those original, if you say okay, it's evolution, but where did the original constituents come from? And who told them to combine in the way that they combine to form the complex life molecules that we have? You can only come to one honest conclusion. And that is that there's an intelligent programmer and creator behind it all. Number one, that's foundation. Number two, look at Israel. This God, who says he is the God of heaven and earth, is the God of a nation on the earth today called Israel. He said, I am the Holy One of Israel. This God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And down through the years, history, forget the Bible, just put the Bible aside for 1 minute. You know, come back to it. And you can see the trajectory of the history of natural Israel. Against all odds, Israel has been scattered for thousands of years. God brings them back to that land and then restores a dead language. Nobody was speaking Hebrew before. Hebrew had died. Today they are speaking the same Hebrew that they used to speak in their father's time. And you tell me there is no God? About 2 or 3 weeks later, will be established. Number three.
Look at the heavens and look at your body. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. These three things, you look at creation, you look at Israel, you look at your body. We convince any skeptic that there is a God. I may not know him. I may not have accepted him, but that God of Israel must be the true God. No other religion comes even, Pastor Gwega, remotely close. I didn't say close, remotely.
Everything they just say just
is only this Bible. All the facts, historical, scientific, everything. And he never tries to apologize. He just tells you the way it is. He says, I am the Lord God. I am the creator of heavens and the earth. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us pray. Talk to God. Stand to your feet. Fear God. Fear God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath not life. It's not religion, no. It's reality. Hallelujah. Talk to God this morning. If you've been doubting and you've been saying, oh, maybe you're deceiving yourself. Oh. The facts are there. These things I've told you, they're not cunningly divided. They are facts. The scientific facts, the historical facts, the experiential facts. You know, when the sin nature is taken away from your life, you will know. I knew. So many of us here, we know. And it's not psychological. It's spiritual. It does affect your psychology, but it's not the psychological that changes it. It's the spiritual that controls the psychology. Mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Ever let it be that I praise you. Ever let it be that I would please you. Never let it be that I would turn away. Oh, hallelujah. What a prayer. Glory be to God. Ever let it be that I would love you. Never let there be that I would sing your praise.
I would sing your praise.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we say
sing it again.
Forever.
Oh. Be to God.
Always and forever.
Always and forever. Lead me. I need you. You day by day. Hallelujah.
Never let me.
Hallelujah. Ever let it be.
Ever let it be.
Glory to God.
Ever let it be.
That I would praise you.
I would praise you.
Ever let it be. That I would please you.
Never let it be that I would turn away. Ever let it be.
Ever let it be that I would love you. There be any gods above you.
Never let it be that I would sing your praise.
Always and forever, hallelujah. Glory to God. Heart, raise your other hand to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. We receive your blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. We receive your life. Lord, have mercy on us. As we pray, we receive your power. Father, I thank you for this word that I've heard this morning, putting me into remembrance of the fact that I am born of God. And because I'm born of God, I indeed have overcome the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That I have Jesus Christ inside me. And there's a record of it, both in heaven and in the earth. By the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, the life of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I myself have this witness in myself. I receive the witness that you put in my spirit, Lord Holy Spirit, and is greater than any witness of man. Lord, I identify and I agree. And I side in with what you have said about me. It is what you say that is reality. For thy word is truth. I accept your word. I accept your truth. I accept your reality. And I allow that to define the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Lambrecatolo, Mosso, Glomatolo, Lambrecatolo, 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 Lamb
Tofrenes, Dolomongaras, Jiki Tofrenes, Longiras, Longar Dolomosh Tofres, Nangeres, Tofrenes, Longires, Dolomaras, Jiki Tofrenes, Nangit Dolomoshalakaras, Tofrenes, Tolomas, Tofrenes, Nombereka Shofrenes, Nombridilis, Nufrides, Dolomongaras, Dolomosh Tofres, Longiraka Tofrenes, Sofrenes.
In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. It's who you are in God that really matters. Not who you are in the natural. Who you are in the natural will be changed and enhanced by who you are in God. Praise the Lord.